The Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen. This and other great health talk shows at RadioMD.com. Here are Joe Galewski and Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. A couple important, really important studies out this week. And that's what we're going to talk about in this hour of You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on Radio MD. This is very important because this is actually what we've talked about for a while, but there's more data on it. So the gene APOE4 is associated with about a 40% increase in Alzheimer's and dementia risk. So that's a very, if you will, high and bad thing to have. Well, it turns out we've always known, that is for about 5 years, that exercise decreases dementia risk and regrows neurons in the hippocampus, the key area of the memory center. Well, now we have some more data that shows, in fact, that what exercise is doing is, in those people who are heterozygous, that is, they have one active APOE4 and one inactive, those are the ones that develop the accelerated dementia at age, 65 to 85, rather than developing it at age 40, which is what you have with, you've got homozygous for H APOE4, but that the exercise actually activates that brain area, that brain, that APOE that you still have, and makes it much more active, and thus you get a tremendous benefit from exercise, any exercise, but this was aerobic that they studied, that does that. So exercise actually reverses the risk, the genetic risk of Alzheimer's disease, one of the very important studies this week. The other one that I think is probably the most important that I've seen this week is a very interesting study because it looks at mitochondrial DNA. Now, we don't talk much about the DNA that is in your mitochondria. Your mitochondria have only one set of DNA. That's from your mom in them. And the mitochondria are what produces energy. So the mitochondria look like little bacteria inside your cell, but they take in glucose and put out ATP. The rest of your cell uses ATP for energy. So this is adenosine triphosphate. You don't have to know the name. ATP is like, brum, it gives you energy. Well, it turns out that when your mitochondria DNA has decreased, and it decreases when you eat, for example, two big meals. So you eat just big meals that have high glucose. That glucose gets presented to your mitochondria, and it causes some free radical damage in the mitochondria, and that kills the mitochondria and decreases it. Well, it turns out if you've got a 9% decrease in mitochondrial DNA, you're much more likely to get frail. And if you're in the bottom quintile in this large study of mitochondrial DNA, you had a 50% increased risk of being frail. So being frail, not being able to walk and do activities of daily living, get off the toilet, etc., that's what people say, they lose their energy, they lack energy. Well, that's what happens when you don't have enough mitochondrial DNA, and that is the process that seems to occur. And maybe we're going to find new drugs and other things that will help you keep your mitochondria long. What do we know now to keep your mitochondrial DNA long? Small meals, a lot of healthy foods, but small meals, so all the food should be healthy food, but small meals, and especially a little exercise and stress management. So your mitochondrial DNA look like it's increased when you have better management of stress, look like it's increased with a little exercise, and that little exercise is also what turns on the APOE4 gene to decrease your risk of Alzheimer's disease when you're heterozygous for it, and that's a 30% increased risk of Alzheimer's disease, just went down the drain, meaning you decrease that risk totally when you do 30 minutes of aerobic exercise three times a week. So those are really important studies this week. Another important study, and I'm a little left saying, geez, this isn't really good enough. And this is one on that you're going to hear about low-carb and high-carb diets. Well, low-carb diets seem to be associated with less risk than high-carbohydrate diets. And we've always said, well, instead of having just high carbohydrates, that is sugar and added sugars and added syrups and 100% whole grain, they looked at good carbs, that is, the ones that were 100% whole grain and had low glycemic index. And they said, well, any carb is associated with an increased risk factor, that is an increased LDL for LDL cholesterol and a decrease in HDL. But those aren't the key things. What's really key is your inflammation and whether you get addicted to carbohydrates so that you're eating more and eating those bigger meals. So the key point on this article is I think you've got to know this is a short-term study. It looked only over a total of 5 weeks, and so it really is 5 weeks on the diet. So it really is what I would call inadequate to, and it doesn't, it looks at the risk factor of LDL and HDL. It doesn't look at whether you develop plaque in your arteries. It doesn't look at whether you develop coronary artery disease or stroke. It doesn't look at whether you develop impotence or other signs of memory problems, etc., or cancer, which are the big risks of the high-carb, high-sugar diet. So that's one of the studies that will be out today. By the way, that will be out and be talked about. Don't, in fact, be fooled by it. Another interesting study that we've learned because of Ebola, if you will, most of us in the United States are not prepared for infectious diseases. That is, if you look at things as well as how do we patrol for food safety, how do we handle infectious disease outbreaks, what are our vaccination rates, how prepared we are for emerging threats, the United States fails. On a scale of 1 to 10, half the states in Washington, D.C. score 5 or lower. And, in fact, the highest state received an 8. We aren't really well prepared. There have been a loss of 50,000 people involved in preparing for biologic diseases, such as, and in fact, preparing for biologic terrorism. 50,000 people working in preventive health in infectious disease, that's about 1,000 per state, have lost their jobs since 2008. I didn't realize there were that many, but apparently it takes a lot to prepare for disease outbreaks, and we have not been doing it in the United States. We're about to go to Gary Ginsberg, and Gary is going to have, Gary always has these great sessions on what's toxic and what's not, what's important for understanding the environment and your health. So he has, Gary Ginsberg has this session, the segment, What's Toxic, What's Not. And we're going to talk about, is incest toxic to you? And what is toxic, if you will, in the environment? We've got stories relating to plasticizers affecting male development, swimming pool as a sink for personal care chemicals, and fake shampoo as an endocrine threat in Ireland. We're going to talk to Gary about what these really mean and what it means for you. Should you be staying away if you're potentially pregnant from all possible plasticizers? I think the answer is going to be yes, but we'll have to talk to Gary and find out for sure. This is You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on Health Radio, Radio MD, I should say. This is You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on RadioMD.com. Stay well. We'll be right back.
Itching, pain, and soreness during sex? General feelings of vaginal discomfort and dryness? You are not alone. Vaginal dryness is a very common condition that can profoundly affect your everyday life and your sex life. The dryness you are experiencing doesn't reflect your desire to have sex. There are tons of moisturizers and lubricants on the market today, but who wants to put harsh chemicals down there? Prevalife Oasis is an intimate moisturizer with natural ingredients. You don't need to fret over the hazardous chemicals in Prevalife Oasis Vagina Moisturizer. It's paraben-free, hormone-free, fragrance-free, and rapidly absorbing. It provides immediate comfort and relief. You can find out more information on the Prevalife Oasis product and all the great Prevalife products at Prevalife.com. Prevalef.com to stop your itching fast and find relief right now. Prevalife.
Each year, millions of people fall for dangerous fad diets and bogus weight loss products. Here's how to separate facts from fad. This is registered dietitian Melissa Joy Dobbins for the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics with your Eating Right Minute. Fad diets give lots of promises and few results. Some are even dangerous. Remember these warning signs. A guarantee of rapid weight loss is a red flag. For long-term success, aim to lose about 1 pound per week. Never follow a diet that bans an entire food group or one that allows you to only eat from one group. Finally, there is no proof that eating specific foods at certain times of the day will help with weight loss. To create an eating plan just for you, see a registered dietitian and visit www.eatright.org. Encouraging you to eat right, I'm registered dietitian Melissa Joy Dobbins with the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics.
It sounds disgusting, but the average person has 160 varieties, 100 trillion bacteria in their GI tract. Some bacteria are beneficial, many are not. Undesirable bacteria can leave you feeling tired and sluggish and bloated. A simple solution, Natron's Healthy Trinity. You've heard of Healthy Trinity. It's the premier probiotic that's been helping millions of people with digestive problems for over 20 years. This powerful probiotic can help optimize digestion, promote healthy immune, colon, and liver function. And with a healthy digestive system, you'll gain focus and energy, and you'll feel so much better. Here's a special offer, 20% off a 3-month supply of Healthy Trinity. This is a limited time offer with a money back guarantee. Get 20% off right now. Call 866-4-NATRON or go to natron.com. Enter promo code RADIOMD for the discount. Don't miss a single day without taking your Healthy Trinity. Natron.com.
Today, you brushed your teeth. You skipped the floss. You combed your hair. You took the train. You did the crossword. You missed 22 across. You went to work. You had a meeting. You ate your lunch. You had another meeting. You wondered, how is anyone supposed to get any work done around here with so many meetings? You left the office. You took the train. You ate your dinner. You brushed your teeth. You did all the things that one normally does the day before a brutal EF5 tornado rips through town, leaving 30,000 people without power. You never know when the day before is the day before. Prepare for tomorrow at ready.gov/today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Gary, why are you about to burn some incense?
Hey, Mike. Thanks for having me on again tonight. But, you know, people may burn incense for mood or part of a meditation practice. to de-stress, perhaps. And so you might think that all of that might be good for your cardiovascular system because, hey, you're getting more relaxed, you know, dilating the blood vessels, maybe getting a little more blood to the brain. But in fact, a study done in Singapore as part of the Singapore Chinese National Health Study looked at 63,000 people over the long course of time, years of looking at these people, and they found that a lot of them, I guess it's very common over there in Singapore to use incense, a lot of people were using incense, and those using the most incense, and we're talking about burning incense like 12 to 20 hours a day, had statistically significantly greater risk of cardiovascular disease. Probably related.
How do they burn it for 16 or 20 hours? Don't they sleep or do they leave it burning while they're sleeping?
Yeah, I think it's just burning and somebody is around to light another one. It's just a cultural practice. Who's ever up and around, you might light it in the morning to get a fresh morning scent going. Don't forget, there's all different scents for different times of the day, different moods you're trying to create. So, we in this country became most familiar, mainstream with incense probably during the 1960s as part of the counterculture, and hasn't really caught on in a big way. But in cultures that it is, I mean, it could be a significant cardiovascular risk, probably because of the particulate and the some of the volatile chemicals that come off of it. That doesn't rival cigarette smoking because you're not directly inhaling it, but compared to the sidestream smoke from cigarettes, it's really not that different. So, I think that if you want to burn some incense occasionally, on a special occasion or, once a month, I don't think that's going to be a real risk factor. But this data suggests that, an everyday user may want to think twice about that.
So, Gary, that's the real point. So once in a while, like it was used back in the old days, like I did in medical school, you'd use it for a couple hours to clear out the smell or change the smells in your office. No big deal. But constant use may be a big deal.
Yeah, and in general, if you've got people around with asthma, babies, you wouldn't want to be burning incense around babies, just as a general precaution because their respiratory system is very sensitive.
Now, the big one that I think in this story is plasticizers in utero affect male development.
Yeah.
I know this is a technical study, but tell us about it.
Okay. Well, this follows up on previous results, similar, but the earlier data were from the University of Rochester, studying people in upstate New York 5 to 10 years ago. This new study is in Sweden, looking at 196 boys aged about 20 months, not quite 2 years of age, and they took measurements of a characteristic maleness feature, which is called anogenital distance. So there's a for between your genitals and the anus, there's the perianal area there. There's a certain distance or dimension it's supposed to be. If you're feminized in utero or in early life, that distance will be shorter. We believe that distance is pretty predictive of things like semen counts at adolescence. So in this particular, and we know that phthalates in utero exposure can tend to feminize boys. It inhibits the fetal testes from sending out a signal, a testosterone signal, at a certain point of gestation. And sure enough, in this study, and the reason why I think this study is relatively important, even though the effect wasn't that big, but it did show the effect, so it's consistent with previous results, and the particular phthalate that was associated with this anti-male, endocrine disruptive effect was diisononal phosphate, or DINP. And why is that such a punchline? Because that's what they're using these days to replace DEHP. We all knew DEHP was too toxic. and should be removed. It was highly endocrine disruptive, even carcinogenic. It was what was in, Mike, was in hospital tubing, and the preemies were getting too much of that. And so now DEHP has been replaced by DINP, and that was the bad actor in this study. That was the one that showed the biggest correlation. So maybe, you know, this is unfortunate substitution, the classic case of unfortunate substitution, replacing one thing with something that we don't know quite as much about. And then when you do the testing on that, you see that it sure enough has also has adverse effects. So a very interesting study from Sweden. It definitely needs to be repeated. But we are developing a track record here of phthalates, plasticizers, being anti-male if exposure is in utero. And where is it coming from? Probably cosmetics, in terms of what these moms, they're probably the primary source of exposure was probably the thing to cosmetics. If that's where phthalates are used, that goes along with fragrance. So if you want to avoid phthalates during pregnancy, look for products that you're going to be wearing on your body, like deodorant, body lotions, perfumes. Look for them that are phthalate-free. Look for them that have essential oils rather than fragrance as the scent.
Now, how much do we get from our environment, that is, fragrances and other things, versus how much do we get from plasticizers in bottles like we drink water out of?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. Certainly we get some from there, but we see the greatest correlations between phthalate levels in urine and personal care products. So exactly what I'm talking about, you know, the deodorants and skin lotion, anything that has fragrance in it. And so, sure, there is some, and if you were trying to be a purist about it, you would not microwave in plastic, you would not wear anything with fragrance in it, and you would not drink out of a plastic water bottle, because especially those, you know, they could be sitting around for long times in warehouses under high temperatures, and it's the high temperature that will leach the plasticizers out of the bottle and into your glass of water. But I would say the number one, because you're wearing it all day on your body, is the personal care products like fragrance, perfume, that kind of thing. And this study, it did not identify the source of the DINP, but it is, in my estimation, it would be likely to be personal care products in these pregnant women.
Gary, I'm going to try and ask you to stay on for a couple because you've got some other great stories, but here's a couple questions we've already received on the email line from you and from this topic. And the interesting thing, anyone can write us at udocs@gmail.com and send a question in, but the interesting thing is there are two questions that say, that are basically the same, which is, can we get our phthalate level measured, or these levels of these chemicals measured? How easy, how tough is it? And maybe I should, and the second and the third question actually is, essential oils, they don't contain any phthalates, do they?
No, that's right. Neither does fragrance, but they use phthalates as carrier for the fragrance so that it clings and sticks to the skin. Essential oils don't need the phthalate carrier.
Okay, now the other thing is, can you get the levels measured?
Yes, you could do that. That would be highly unusual. To interpret your levels, you would have to look at the NHANES database, which has the normative levels for adults of all the different phthalates. So it's not that simple to know whether you're at a level of concern or not. There's background levels.
Well, Gary, we're going to have to. We've got a hard break, Gary, so we'll have to come back. Hopefully, you'll stay with us right after the break. We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Are you one of the millions of Americans whose thyroid gland isn't functioning the way it's supposed to? Well, now there's hope. Introducing Actolin. Actolin is a dietary supplement that contains 17 ingredients that support thyroid function, your adrenal health, your energy metabolism, and your immune health. Actolin's nutrients were handpicked by the renowned holistic practitioner, Dr. David Brownstein. And now, for a limited time, you can get a risk-free trial of Actolin when you enroll in our convenient SmartShip program and cover the first low shipping and handling handling fee of $4.95. That's right. Try Actolin as part of our risk-free trial and just pay $4.95 shipping. Learn more and sign up today at ActolinRadio.com. That's ActolinRadio.com or call 800-500-HEALTH. That's 800-500-4325. And mention promo code Actolin Radio. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent disease.
Can you tell if the surfaces in this kitchen are crawling with bacteria that could cause chronic arthritis? Listen. Can't, can you? You can't see it either. Wash surfaces, utensils, and hands frequently with soapy water while preparing food, especially when handling raw meats or eggs. Raw food may contain bacteria that can make you very sick, or worse. 1 in 6 Americans will get sick from food poisoning this year, and roughly 3,000 will die. But you can keep your family safer by cleaning with soap and water as you go. Learn more about this and other important information. Check your steps at foodsafety.gov. That's foodsafety.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Agriculture, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Spring and summer bring out the best of nature, but blooming flowers, grass, and weeds emit pollen everywhere. Spring cleaning, molds, funguses, and pollens can cause severe allergic reactions. It's time to fight back. Get a blast of nature's most powerful natural remedy with Oreganol P73, the most powerful oil of oregano available anywhere. Oreganol P73 is an extract of hand-picked wild oregano grown in mineral-rich soils found only in the mountains of the Mediterranean. Experience this powerful and effective spice you can't find anywhere else. It is so effective, even the ancient Greeks used oregano for their health. And it's not just a mere spice. Oreganol P73 is also available as gel caps and as a sea salt-based nasal spray. Use Oreganol P73 and stay healthy all summer long. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Available in natural food stores nationwide or visit AmericanWildFoods.com.
Only half of adults in the U.S. get the 2.5 hours per week of aerobic physical activity recommended for health benefits. Walkers are more likely to get the recommended amount. More adults are walking, but better spaces and more places are still needed. Communities can promote walking when they create long-range plans, such as master plans, and design safe streets for walkers. Communities can also ensure sidewalks and paths are in good repair and have easy-to-read signs. Employers can create walking programs, encourage walking breaks and meeting, and identify nearby paths or routes. Increase your physical activity by starting a walking group. Participate in local planning for walking paths and new sidewalks, or work with parents and schools to encourage walking to school where it's safe. For more information, visit www.cdc.gov/vital signs.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And you're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. We've got a holdover. We held over Gary Ginsberg, the great Gary Ginsberg, who is this incredible fountain of knowledge about environmental work. And that's justified because that's what his day job is in Connecticut. But his night job, occasional job, is with us, teaching us the importance of things. We were talking about phthalates and in utero or birth changes in what we would call maleness, and whether, in fact, some of the fertility problems that occur were related to phthalate exposure in utero and in your youth. Gary, continue with this, what I consider a really interesting discussion. One, can you measure these? Two, would you measure them in anyone? Three, would you just stay away from fragrance and other than absolute essential oils, which you said don't need that way it's to stay on the skin as opposed to artificial fragrances?
Yes.
Or what would you do if you were a young person about to think about conceiving, having children?
All right. Well, thanks, Mike. And I appreciate the interest in this topic because I think it's one of the more important ones that we see on a daily basis. And that is that, you know, people aren't that knowledgeable about where their exposure to phthalates is coming from. So first, I wouldn't bother testing my blood. It's actually a urine test, and I wouldn't do the urine test because it may show that you're on the high side that day, but the levels are going to bounce around a lot, and the normative range for the general population, there's data for that, but it's not necessarily going to mean a whole lot to you whether you're on the high side or not. The critical thing, I think, is that during certain life stages, the exposure to the phthalates would be really good to avoid, and that is during pregnancy, and again, the major source for pregnant women tends to be cosmetics, and body lotions, personal care products, deodorant, things that have a fragrance to them that's not essential oil-based, but par fragrance or fragrance-based, that the, often, 95, or perfumes, that 95% of the time have phthalates as carriers. That's one. And then the other is that, let's say you've got a plastic Christmas tree or you've got plastic shower curtain or PVC flooring, plastic flooring, and that, that you think that that tree or that shower curtain is staying put in your bathroom or in the corner of your living room, and it's true, and you think that, well, your toddler's not going to get any exposure to it unless they go over and chew on it. But the reality is that the phthalates, the plasticizers in those products are volatile enough. They're not locked into the product, and they're volatile enough. They vaporize enough so that over time they go into the indoor air and they do settle out into house dust. And so who's going to get the most exposure to that are infants crawling around. So, you know, during that time, and so the kids ingest a lot of house dust, and we've known from the example of lead on windowsills that where does a lot of the exposure come from? From the house dust where it falls and breaks apart into. Same thing with phthalates. And the number one message there is when you've got little kids, I'd say anybody in your house that's 3 years of age and under, spending a lot of time on the floor, mop like crazy, vacuum like crazy, get out, just have as little dust as possible, not only because of bacteria or your kids getting dirty, but because that's where they're going to get the lion's share of contaminants. I mean, we try to keep baby food really, really clear of any contamination, and you know, the baby companies do a pretty good job of that. And infant packaging, you know, we try to make sure there's no BPA in the little glass jars. Of course, there wouldn't be, but you know, what's in your house stuff, that's up to you. Try to keep your floors as clean as possible to protect baby from this class of endocrine disruptors.
Now, wow, all I got to say is wow. How much do you think that this increased exposure, and I assume there's an increased exposure over years, do we have data on that? And how much of the increased exposure do you think results in fertility problems? I guess I'd say it the other way than this question is asked is how much of the fertility problems that we now have are related to this?
Well, this has been a huge topic of controversy. So there are some European researchers who have measured phthalate levels over time in people's, you know, stored specimens, and they've looked at semen counts, and they see a correlation over time, and now whether it's cause and effect or just correlated for some other reason, we don't really know, but it makes sense that as we have introduced more and more plastics into the home environment, that that it could be a factor, at least, in declining male fertility. And we know that male fertility has declined at a rate. I mean, testosterone levels in men have been dropping at a rate of about 1% a year for the last 30 years. So, in other words, men today are 30% less, quote-unquote, male
than we were 30 years ago. Now, of course, everybody's an individual, and we're all over the place in terms of the individuals, but as a group whole, as a population, the statistics show we're about 30% male, than at least in the U.S., than we were 30 years ago. And so what part does phthalates play in that versus other factors like obesity, which tends to be estrogenic? We don't really know. But it certainly is prudent and a good idea, especially during the prenatal and early postnatal period, to cut down on kids' exposure to phthalates.
Gary, I know you've got to run. Thank you very much. And remember, if you want to be more male or more female, because these affect both genders, but if you want to be more male or more female, best to avoid phthalates. Plastics may not be all they're meant to be, based on that great 1960s film, The Graduate, where, of course, they told Robin Williams, plastics. But in any case, Gary, thank you.
It was Dustin Hoffman.
Dustin Hoffman, plastics. Thank you. That's right, it was Dustin Hoffman.
Thanks.
Oh, my knowledge of films is not what it should be. So what I've learned from this is that we want to avoid plastics as much as possible. One of the great places we get phthalates, or one of the increased places we get phthalates, is from fragrances that are not natural oils. Even burning incense isn't really good for us. So we'll come back and talk to the more about that in future shows, because I want to have a way of you can measure your own level of phthalates and see what your level is and then what you should do about it. Is this related? And that's a question we got on the email line, which is really interesting. Is this related to the increase in or the change in gender identities over time? We have no idea on that as far as I know, but it does look like if we have more fertility problems now than we've ever had, it looks like this may be part of the cause of it. There's another couple studies we want to get to, and I'm going to get to them, if not before the break, right afterwards. This is, what have we learned about stroke care? Well, a lot of what we've learned about stroke care, one of the things we nominated as the top things for next year from the Cleveland Clinic, top innovations for next year, is a stroke ambulance, one that is ready and available and goes to your home, can scan you right there with CT scans, has people online that interpret them and know whether to give you the TPA, much greater recovery with that, much faster administration. Well, now there's a study that this is the first time, it's a study from Germany that looks at should you get the clot removed at the same time. This was 500 people, randomly allocated. 90% were given the clot-busting medicine, and 50% of those were given had surgery immediately, radiologic surgery, that pulled out the clot. We'll tell you what happened to them and why this is such a big improvement right after the break. We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on Radio MD. Stay well.
It sounds disgusting, but the average person has 160 varieties, 100 trillion bacteria in their GI tract. Some bacteria are beneficial, many are not. Undesirable bacteria can leave you feeling tired and sluggish and bloated. A simple solution, Natron's Healthy Trinity. You've heard of Healthy Trinity. It's the premier probiotic that's been helping millions of people with digestive problems for over 20 years. This powerful probiotic can help optimize digestion, promote healthy immune, colon, and liver function. And with a healthy digestive system, you'll gain focus and energy, and you'll feel so much better. Here's a special offer, 20% off a 3-month supply of Healthy Trinity. This is a limited time offer with a money back guarantee. Get 20% off right now. Call 866-4-NATRON or go to natron.com. Enter promo code RADIOMD for the discount. Don't miss a single day without taking your Healthy Trinity. Natron.com.
When Dad needed help getting around, I became his driver. Any daughter would do the same. But soon enough, he needed help doing more things, and it was up to me to be his personal shopper and financial manager, too. And before I knew it, Dad moved in with me. So I became his cook, his personal assistant, his physical therapist, and even his nurse. When I started taking care of Dad, I didn't realize all the roles I'd have to play. But no matter what, I know I'm still his daughter.
We understand the many roles you play. And to help, we created an online caregiving resource center. At aarp.org/caregiving, you can find resources and connect with the caregiving community. Together, we can better care for ourselves and the ones we love. Visit aarp.org/caregiving to learn more. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
We get it. Who wants to talk about vaginal itching and irritation? Vaginal itching, burning, and irritation can be very embarrassing to talk about, even to your gynecologist. Though this topic can be quite uncomfortable, this vaginal problem could be affecting you, just as it affects millions of other women. Thankfully, there is now a product that can provide you with instant relief. We mean fast, as in relief right now. Prevalief Soothe is a natural, paraben-free, rapidly absorbing lotion that is comfortable and soothing to apply. Prevalief Soothe uses a new, natural soothing peptide complex and is made with natural probiotic technology to support vaginal health. To stop your itching fast, visit Prevalief.com to find out more information and purchase the product for immediate relief from your feminine issues. That's Prevalief.com. Prevalief, for immediate comfort and relief.
I'm so glad we left that stupid party.
No joke.
Hey, baby, are you an overdue library book? Because you got fine written all over you.
Ugh, barf.
What about that girl with the hoop earrings?
Ridiculous. When she was dancing...
Megan, look out! Look out!
Oh, my God. Becky. Becky, are you okay?
My arm. I think it's broken.
Can you bend it?
It's already bent. In the wrong direction.
I can't believe this. I'm so sorry. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Really? Just buzzed?
Yeah, I swear.
Well, in that case,
my arm is fine.
Ah, that's better.
You're really okay? You're serious, Becky?
No, genius. I'm not serious.
Ow! My arm, it hurts.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Thank you for all your comments and questions on You, the email line, udocs@gmail.com. udocs@gmail.com. You really put it to Gary Ginsberg well with those questions about how to measure phthalates, whether they, where they mattered most. They matter most when you're pregnant or right after pregnancy. Avoid all fragrances. Vacuum and mop frequently. And probably don't do it yourself. Have your husband do it once you're pregnant. And then especially when you have young kids, don't let them get down if you got a lot of plastics in your home. So avoiding all those plastics, and even the new substitute plastic, seems important. Maybe going back to glass baby bottles is a key way of doing this and getting all your food in and liquids in glass or real food without plastic around it. Very interesting. It may be a reason why paper bags are better than plastic ones. Maybe we should avoid all plastic. What's been the trend? So we'll get to that more when we talk to Gary Ginsberg next. Next week on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on RadioMD.com. I wanted to get to a couple stories, and one we talked about, removing clots helps strokes patients. Remember the speed at which you get therapy. So in Cleveland, in Cleveland and in Houston, I understand there are stroke ambulances specifically roaming the city so that they have CT scans, so you get your medicines much quicker if you've had a stroke. I can't tell you, don't try and wait it out. If you think you've had a stroke, or if someone thinks you've had a stroke, immediately summon an ambulance, get to know the diagnosis, the therapy. Justin Zivin is the one who did this therapy against all odds, did it when, in fact, the company didn't want to do it. He should have gotten a reward from the company, but instead all he got was spit on by the company. But in any case, the TPA, getting it quicker if you've had a clot or a stroke relating to lack of blood flow because of plaque, this is amazingly, now in under 15 minutes with the stroke ambulances. So time lost is brain lost, as opposed to an hour where you've got a lot more brain loss. Well, in this study, getting the clot out as well as TPA, 33% had normal neurologic function afterwards, as opposed to 19% if they didn't get the clot out but just got the TPA. We don't know the timing of that, but we do know that both therapies done quickly, much better than neither done. Now, this is one of my favorite stories this week, is it's okay to feel old, to be old if you feel young. This is a study literally looking at how you feel about your age. If you feel younger than your calendar age, we say if you think your real age is younger than your calendar age, and if it is, guess what? You're much less likely to die or have a serious illness in the next 8 years than if you feel older than your calendar age. This was 6,849 people, not as large as the 26 million we looked at in real age. In real age, your real age, and you can go to realage.com. It's free. It's a free website. If you go to realage.com, your real age predicts your actual risk of dying. Better than, in fact, the best things we have, which are the Reynolds score, the Framingham Index. So it's much better. But this one is simple. If you feel your real age is younger than your calendar age, it is, you're much less likely to die. If you feel your real age is older, and, if you will, there were a group of people in the 6,489 tested, roughly a quarter of them felt older, and they, in fact, many more of those died during the course of the study. Of those who felt older than their true age was during the course of the study, 24.6% died, as opposed to those who felt younger, 14.3% died. These started on average by, they weren't young chickens when they started. That's how you have to do these studies. This was done in the United Kingdom. So that's a major study showing that if you feel old, you really are old. If you feel young, you really are young. The other set of studies we found this week, and I think they're important to go over, is that exposure to things in utero and slightly thereafter have long-term effects. We've talked about phthalates being bad. We've talked about incest being bad. But here's one that is actually good. This is one where the mother who got specific antidepressants, that isn't any antidepressant, but specific ones, if they took them during, because of anxiety or depression during pregnancy, they ended up with a long-term benefit in that their child was much less likely to be anxious as an adult. So this is a long-term study done by UCLA. 5% of the babies born in the United States, 200,000, are exposed to antidepressants. And it says that these specific ones, that is, they looked at the specific one of Lexapro versus another one, Prozac, and they found that those humans and mice exposed to Lexapro had permanent change in neurotransmission of serotonin, which turned out to be a benefit. It's really amazing. So there is a benefit for which one you select. Now, another important study out that I look at is Optimistic. Optimistic was, remember, less use of binge drinking, down from a quarter of high school seniors to a fifth. Same thing with cigarettes. Those are down. Even daily marijuana use is down. But e-cigarettes are up. Well, this is one on skin and eye burns linked to indoor tanning. It's been cut, if you will. The emergency department visits for this have gone in down by 66% from over 6,000 a year in 2003 to now only 2,000 a year in 2012. So really good data, really important data showing that in fact, as we are going around in life, that there are some improvements happening. We're not getting fast enough improvements in all of the things we do for our general health, but we are getting improvements. So I think that's we should celebrate the good news at the end of the year. And I want to talk about one more thing that we've already talked about, but I can't resist talking about it again. That is your mitochondria DNA. If I was going to say one word you want to learn for the, or one phrase you want to learn for the next year about health, mitochondrial DNA, your mitochondria DNA, how long it is, how much you have, looks like it will help prevent you from having frailty. So as we end, and by the way, we have a live show, as I understand, next week and the week after. So we're going to end the year with all of these live shows. So if you're planning on wanting to listen to something, do. Gary Ginsberg will be with us, and that's great. Thank you for Gary Ginsberg. But we have a great show coming up next week because I know who the guest is.
My name is Dale Pazinski, and this is how I live United. I volunteer with United Way, helping the homeless in my community by teaching computer skills and helping them build a basic resume to save on their very own USB drive. It's huge when somebody says, "Hey man, that job that you helped me apply for, I got it." My name is Dale Pazinski. I help people achieve financial independence. So I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live United. Go to liveunited.org, brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Are you one of the millions of Americans whose thyroid gland isn't functioning the way it's supposed to? Well, now there's hope. Introducing Actolin. Actolin is a dietary supplement that contains 17 ingredients that support thyroid function, your adrenal health, your energy metabolism, and your immune health. Actolin's nutrients were handpicked by the renowned holistic practitioner, Dr. David Brownstein. And now, for a limited time, you can get a risk-free trial of Actolin when you enroll in our convenient Smart Ship program and cover the first low shipping and handling fee of $4.95. That's right. Try Actolin as part of our risk-free trial and just pay $4.95 shipping. Learn more and sign up today at ActolinRadio.com. That's ActolinRadio.com or call 800-500-HEALTH. That's 800-500-4325 and mention promo code Actolin Radio. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent disease.
I'll never get used to these 10-mile runs. They are taking so much time out of my day.
Are you training for a marathon or something?
Diabetes runs in my family, and I heard if you lose lots of weight, you can prevent it. So I started running like crazy, and I cut my calories big time.
Oh, get real. You don't have to knock yourself out to prevent diabetes. My doctor said it's the small lifestyle changes you make that matter, because it's easier to stick to them.
Wow, really?
It worked for me.